You're listening to Thrive with Karina Grueling, a personal health and life design podcast for the modern everyday woman. Tune in and get inspired on how to thrive in your body and life. This is your host, Karina Grueling.
Great to have you back for another episode of AstroVeda. And today I will provide you with some insights on self-massage and its effects on the nervous system. And we will explore the Shakti and Shiva principle to find the right balance between feminine and masculine energy. And Lauren and I will present a holistic approach to healing burnout. Hey, Lauren, good to have you back.
Hi, Karina. So yes, today on today's episode, I'll be sharing some astrological insights, as always, including this shift of Aries into Mercury. I'll be talking about the new moon in Pisces. And we'll also kick off the astrological year this year with the sun shift into Aries. And then later on in the month, we'll have the lunar eclipse in Libra, which will bring some balance back to all of our lives. So I'll jump straight in. So we'll begin the month still in the watery world of Pisces, but then the fiery energy of Aries is also about to join in the cosmic fun. So on March the 9th, Mercury enters Aries at 0 degrees, and Mercury rules communication, travel, adaptability, and our thinking patterns. Whilst Aries is associated with being the leader, going first, with aggression and speed. So when Mercury is in this masculine, fiery sign of the ram, it's a good time for all of us to follow our passions. We also have the willpower and the determination to succeed at this time. And it's also a really good time to enhance our knowledge, as the enthusiasm to learn will be really strong. Our conversations are likely to be a little bit more straightforward and to the point, which can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the scenario. But we must also be cautious at this time, because Mercury isn't really comfortable in Aries, which is ruled by Mars, the planet of war. So the likelihood of debates and counter-arguments is quite strong, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but we must also temper all of that fire by bringing in some watery energy. Thankfully, we have the sun still in Pisces, and so this watery energy will help to dampen some of that fiery flames. But if you are feeling naturally a little bit fiery in general, then it's a good time to think about how to tap into that opposing energy to bring in balance. So, for example, when you're feeling really sad, depressed, or emotional, think about how you can boost your fire. So maybe something really simple, like heading for a run to build some heat in your body, or finding a cause that you're really passionate about to stir up some of that fire within. Or if you're stuck in more of an airy kind of overthinking realm of the mind, ground down into the body and invite in some earthy energy with something like a yin class, or maybe just spending some time in nature. And likewise, if you're feeling really stuck in the mud or sluggish, unable to move forward, maybe you want to think about inviting some light, airy energy in. And you can do this by finding ways to connect with the air elements, by maybe getting outside, feeling the wind in your hair, or maybe trying some breath work to activate a more uplifted state of being. So Karina, I know from conversations that we've had in the past that within your kind of dosha, you possess quite a lot of pitta energy, which is associated with the elements of fire and the masculine. But you also incorporate some feminine energy in to maintain balance. So how was that process for you? Has it been easy? Is there any insights from Ayurveda that you could offer?
Yeah, thank you so much, Lauren, again, for your insights. I really appreciate how simply you explain the things. And yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's for many of us an important topic in today's world that is more like, masculine dominated. And I would say that, to find the right balance between these two energies has been really a big challenge. And at times I really found myself overly focused on external achievements and caught up in my thoughts, while at other times I was really more submerged in my emotions or feeling stuck and unable, to move forward. And through Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, I have really learned a lot about finding harmony between these energies. And nowadays, I strive to put, say, between the two opposites. Also, sometimes I still lean too far into the other but then my body gives me very clear signs when this happens. And it can happen that I have an overactive nervous system and then I feel agitated when I lean too much into my masculine. Or I also have a tendency then to accumulate water and feeling heavy and lethargic when I lean too much into my feminine. So I believe this balancing act is a challenge we all face in life. And also finding really the right balance between these two opposing forces. And in Ayurveda, we have the concept of pulsation between Shakti and Shiva energy. And it's a very powerful metaphor for balance and vitality, especially for us women. And Shakti represents the dynamic, creative, and nurturing energy, while Shiva embodies more the stable, grounding, and transformative force. So we can imagine it like a dance. So where we move fluidly between the active, vibrant energy of Shakti and the calm, centered energy of Shiva. And when we embrace our Shakti energy, we tap into our creativity, into our intuition, into our emotional depth. And this feminine energy fuels also our passions and ignites our desires, and it nurtures also our relationships. And on the other hand, we have the Shiva energy that brings us a bit more stability and strength. And it also helps us to remain grounded, when we face life challenges, and that we foster clarity in our mind. And it also helps us to facilitate personal growth and also transformation. And this pulsation is not about achieving a perfect balance at all times, but it's more like, rather not about embracing the natural ebb and flow of life. So it's about not tuning into our inner wisdom and intuition so that it is guiding us and navigating us through the seasons, through all the different cycles we have, especially as women. And sometimes it's good just to stop for a moment. And maybe you want to stop now for a moment and you just want to ask yourself a couple of questions that help me sometimes to set my priorities and to see where I'm at. So, for example, the question, what signs and symptoms do you notice when you are overdoing it with activity? Can you maybe recall a time when you felt perfectly balanced between rest and activity? And what did that look like for you? So how do you prioritize self-care in your daily routine? What adjustments or changes do you think you could make to achieve a better balance? And then, just take some time and journal on these questions. And just what could be the smallest action that could bring you one baby step closer to finding balance between the feminine and the masculine?
Yeah, I love that, Karina. I resonate so much with what you've just said about finding balance between the masculine and feminine. And it's like the fire and the water. This is kind of like the dance that yoga encourages in us as well, this balance between the sthira and the sukra, the hard and the soft, the yin and the yang, the light and the dark, the sun and the moon. I just love how all of these ancient traditions incorporate this idea of duality, which really in the Western world, we don't talk about so much. There's really more of a sense of you're male or female rather than both.
I really think we still have the Pisces energy, no? And the Pisces energy is, it's also the upcoming moon that can, it's very watery and emotional, and it's very connected to this feminine energy, which also governs our intuition. So, Lauren, I'm super curious, what does this new moon have in store for us?
Yeah, so on March the 10th, we'll have the new moon in Pisces, which gives us an opportunity to use our intuition and inspiration. in order to set goals for the 6 months ahead. So Pisces energy reminds us to keep the faith that magic might just happen. So if we can dream something, if we can visualize it, if we can feel as if we already have it, then we have the power to bring it into existence. So signs Pisces, Cancer, Taurus and Capricorn will benefit the most from this new moon, but all of us can use its magic. So take a look at where Pisces falls in your chart and then honour the energy of this house by planting seeds that relate to the area that's activated within you. But we can't fully escape into the land of fantasy. We must also be committed to working on these dreams in order to bring them onto the earthly planes. So Piscean energy, just like these two fish that symbolise the sign, is all about tapping into the flow of life. So into our creativity and our intuition. So some things that I'd recommend for this month, go out and dance. Move your body in a gentle and fluid way. So maybe trying something like ecstatic dancing or even just seeking out a new band to listen to at your local venue. And when you have a feeling about something or someone or some kind of situation that you're in, really listen to your gut and honour what it is that it's saying. So sometimes we instinctively know that something is or isn't for us, but we close off from these feelings because we're always looking for evidence to back it up, which is a very masculine trait. But actually, our intuition, which is more of a feminine trait, is rarely wrong. So don't wait for the mind to take over to convince you otherwise. And as the healer of the zodiac, Pisces also reminds us to use this time to give back. So express empathy for others and form supportive alliances. And while self-love is important, as humans, we're actually really wired for connection. So seek out people who help you to feel at ease or who support you when you're flowing with the rhythm of life and who also support you when it feels like you're swimming upstream. And then talking about love, so the following day on March the 11th, all the way up until April the 4th, we have Venus hanging out in the sign of Pisces. So suddenly we'll all be seeing life through rainbow lenses. We'll be much more easily open to forgiveness and compassion, as well as seduction. But be careful about who you decide to seduce at this time, because Pisces energy can often encourage us to fall in love with more of a idealized version of someone rather than the reality. So when we place someone or someone places us on a pedestal, it's a very long way to fall back down to earth. But generally, Venus is happy hanging out in Pisces. It encourages us all to tap into activities that move or inspire or touch us in some way. And so it's a great time to go on a date, to head to a gallery, or just explore someone different to your usual type, especially if they're more kind of poetic or artistic in some way. And if you're already coupled up, now is a really good time to bring some playful or fantasy-fueled inspiration into the relationship. Karina, how about some self-care tips from Ayurveda that come to mind, which can maybe help us to feel a bit more grounded or sensual and realistic during these times when maybe we might get lost in fantasies under this Pisces energy?
Yeah, so the first self-care habit that comes to my mind is self-massage. We also call it Abhyanga Ganga in Ayurveda. And I find it's really one of the most important daily practices. And it's also part of my Home and Thrive program. But many people, when they come into the program, they don't think it's important. Whereas I think it's one of the most important ones, because it's like when you apply oil to your skin, it's like adding in a protection layer around your nervous system. And that's also why it's so important as women that we eat enough healthy fats, because it really, really calms the nervous system down. And it also helps to establish better and stronger boundaries. Yeah, we are in direct contact also with our flesh. And it also aids in developing greater sensuality. And for Vata types, who often experience dryness, coldness, irregularities. Then self-massage with warm, very nourishing oils, it helps to counteract these qualities. And Vata individuals really should opt for heavier oils such as sesame or almond oil, which provide warmth and moisture to the skin while soothing the nervous system. And for Vata's, very gentle rhythmic strokes can promote relaxation. They can alleviate a little bit of anxiety, and they can also foster a sense of stability. And Pitta types characterized by heat, more intensity and inflammation, they can benefit from self-massage with more cooling oils that help pacify excess pitta. So also coconut, sunflower, or olive oil, they're really excellent choices for pittas. And pitta types, they can use gentle pressure to avoid overheating, as this can worsen pitta imbalances. Yeah, and the cooling properties of the oils, they can help to soothe the pitta-related, for example, irritability or anger or inflammation. And it can also really foster a sense of calm and of balance. And I really highly recommend massaging from head down to the feet to really help disperse the energy that often accumulates in the head. Yeah, and kapha types, they tend to experience qualities, yeah, of heaviness, no, stagnation or congestion. And they can benefit from more stimulating and invigorating, no, oils for self-massage. So also like lighter oils as mustard oil, apricot kernel, they are really ideal for kaphas. And because they help to alleviate the stagnation, they promote circulation. And kaphas can also use like firm pressure. No, they can use long sweeping strokes to stimulate the lymphatic system, because this is often congested in kapha types. And this also really helps to reduce kapha-related sluggishness. Yeah, so for me, really self-massage, yeah, it aligns perfectly, yeah, with the watery, emotional and creative energy of Pisces. So also just tap into your creativity. What feels good for you? How can you touch yourself that feels good for you in that moment? And it also really prepares us well for this fiery Aries energy that takes over.
Oh, thanks so much for sharing that, Karina. I've been using oils like every day, almond oil, because I'm very Vata, every day in the morning. And I find it such a grounding and nurturing way to start the day. I do just have a question for you, though. Do you recommend adding essential oils to the base oil, or is it better to just like keep it simple and use the oils you've recommended?
I mean, I would always suggest to make it very simple so that you do it in the end. That's more important, you know? Like, yeah, that's the most important thing, let's say, to take action. I mean, I have a set of essential oils at home, and depending on what's going on in my life, I like to add some to my oil. But I haven't done it for quite a while, so thanks for bringing it up, because I trust that yes, I could, at the moment I could use this oil, so we'll do that tomorrow. Now, so Vata, they can use lavender, patchouli, kapha types, they can use citrus oils and clary sage and eucalyptus, and Pitta, they really like rose and chamomile and yang yang. So one of my favorites is really lavender. This is really soothing, and I really love the smell. So what's your favorite essential oil, Lauren?
Yeah, I really love very uplifting scents. So I often diffuse orange. I have like a diffuser on my desk, and I diffuse that in the morning to like kind of uplift the energy for the day. But I also really like bergamot and geranium, and I find that they keep me quite balanced and grounded. But yeah, I love lavender as well. I've actually just bought a new little pot of it. But anyway, I'll go back to some moon musings now. So just 9 days after the new moon, so on March the 19th, all of that watery, dreamy energy gets distinguished as the sun enters into the confident and ambitious sign of Aries, which signifies the start of our astrological year. And Aries, being the first sign of the zodiac, is all about directness, courage and competition. So during this season to come, we're all going to be feeling a little bit more playful and passionate and decisive. But as with any Mars-ruled sign, we also have to be cautious that any fire that comes up doesn't consume us. So taking us from being direct to the extreme of aggression, or passionate to forceful. But thankfully, the energy of this hot-headed sign is also really quick to forgive and forget, whereas more kind of fit signs might struggle with this fast-moving, fast-changing energy and feelings. The Ram's energy is also all about newness and enthusiasm, which should be a welcome respite after these kind of slower winter months. But it can also kind of sweep us off our feet in our own self-directed speediness. And so it can be helpful to remember groundedness at this time as well. So keep these daily rituals that we talk about all the time. So things like meditation, yoga, journaling, and make sure that you get plenty of moments of stillness to interrupt some of this movement. And whilst you might be happy to spring into action this month to set your eyes on your prize and to go after it, it's also important to do so from a really strong place of inner knowing. So before you do race ahead, just pause and ask yourself, is what I'm going after really aligned with my energy and the life that I want to live? And if the answer is yes, then by all means, trailblaze your way there. But do so with some caution and try not to get too caught up in Aries' other well-known traits, which is impatience. And now would be a really good time to remember the wise words, burn bright, not out. Talking of burnout, it seems that we're experiencing this pandemic of burnout at the moment, especially in women. Karina, can you tell us a little bit about how and why this happens from a hormonal perspective?
Yes, no, unfortunately, burnout has become increasingly, you know, prevalent in our society. And it's really shocking how many of us are affected by it, or not even realizing that they are affected by it. You know, often you have a chronic disease or an autoimmune disease that is discovered, but actually it's coming from deep exhaustion. And yeah, burnout is really characterized by chronic stress, exhaustion, you know, a sense of overwhelm that affects individuals across various walks of life. And it is something that went on for years. No, it's not something you overwork for 2 months and then you have a burnout. It's really something that it kind of piles up. And I really think it's no surprise that the constant overdoing without enough rest and all the responsibilities we all have to juggle and the exposure to social media and screens, it can be really, really draining. And eventually it can end up in a burnout. And I believe many of us have forgotten what it really feels to be truly rested and to engage in activities solely for pleasure, without the pressure of achieving a particular outcome. I think most of us are really goal-oriented all the time. And burnout is really often fueled by a combination of factors, also including excessive work demands, long hours, lack of support. And it's also it's an imbalance between work and personal life and between activity and rest, which is no surprise in our fast-paced world. And when we look at our hormones, burnout can really wreak havoc on them. And when we experience chronic stress, it triggers a release of stress hormones, such as cortisol and adrenaline, and they are really designed to help us cope with immediate threats or challenges. However, when the stress becomes chronic and relentless, then these hormones can remain elevated for extended periods, and then it can lead to imbalances in our hormone system. And over time, when we have this prolonged stress and elevated cortisol levels, then it can disrupt various bodily functions like sleep and digestion and immune function and reproductive health. And it can also contribute to imbalances in other hormones, such as insulin, and thyroid hormones, reproductive hormones like estrogen, progesterone. And it leads to depletion of neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine. And they play a key role in regulating our mood, our motivation, our overall well-being. And this is why the burnout can also result in symptoms of depression, or that we feel a lot of anxiety, that we are emotionally exhausted. And I published a podcast episode about stress and its effect on our hormones last Sunday, you know, if you want to learn more about it. And what I think was also important to mention is that it takes time to recover from burnout. So if you have been pushing yourself beyond your limits for years, then we cannot recover from burnout within 3 months or 6 months. And if we still need to continue working and we have to take care of kids or another person, then the recovery process takes even longer. You know, and we also sometimes need herbal remedies or acupuncture, any other holistic therapies that helps you to recharge, you know, your batteries. And I think these methods are really often underestimated. And yeah, so we spoke about how burnout affects, you know, our hormones, our health. And of course, health is always, we need to look at it holistically. And so our mind is also super important. And I think, yeah, I would love that you share your experience, Lauren, when you work with your clients who experience a burnout.
Yeah. So one thing that I've really noticed with people who are suffering from burnout is that there's so many contributing factors to it. So yes, it's the excessive workload. And then if we look at the current climate, especially with all of the layoffs in the last few years, the pressure to go hard, not only at work, but outside of work with your workouts to achieve something off the career ladder as well. But it's not only society's pressure. There's also this internal pressure to push ourselves beyond our own limits. And this often comes down to our inner dialogue. So this is like the long-held beliefs that we have about ourselves that we learn in childhood. So maybe our story is that we feel like we're not good enough or smart enough or loved enough. And that can really be a source of motivation for lots of people to continue to push themselves too far. And this dialogue can often be so powerful that it convinces us to keep pushing, even when we know our own health is being impacted. And I've been there very much so in the past. And something that I eventually realized on my own journey was that even now, when there's nothing necessarily major going on in my life, I really value just having an external person to talk to. And when you are really going through the thick of something like big and traumatic, or you need to talk about process from the past, then I think a therapist is really the right person for you to go to. But if you're kind of just struggling with something going on currently, like something in the workplace, or you're thinking about what you want to do in the future, or having issues in relationships, then a coach can be an ideal person to talk to. And I've found that just having someone that I can go to who's like impartial with whatever is going on in my life, especially as someone like myself who's batter and very much prone to overthinking. And this person can be like a therapist or a coach, like I said. But at this stage in my life, when I've already done a lot of healing work, for me, it doesn't really matter who it is that I'm speaking to, as long as someone is like very neutral and non-judgmental, which most people in these professions are. And this kind of intuitive discovery that I had for myself not so long ago was also recently confirmed when I was reading a book by Marcia Reynolds, who says in her book, Coach the Person, Not the Problem, that to stop adverse thinking patterns, we need someone outside of our head to disrupt our thinking by reflecting our thoughts back to us and then asking us questions that prompt us to wonder why we think the way we do. Because actually, we're not able to do that for ourselves. So this is exactly what we do in the coaching practice. We provide reflection to the client. And then within this reflection, they get to hear back their own narrative, and it's really powerful stuff to witness. And I know personally how beneficial it was for me to hear that.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing your insights, Lauren. No, I think it's really incredible how inner dialogue can drive us to push beyond our limits And even when we know it's affecting our health, even if we see already symptoms. But now let's shift gears a little. So we have the upcoming full moon in Libra. And I find when we work on the relationships, you know, we have with ourselves and with others, the Libra full moon can be really beneficial. And I'm really curious to hear what you will share about it, especially since it's also a lunar eclipse. And like, what does a lunar eclipse signify?
Yeah, so finally, we'll wrap up the month with this full moon in Libra, which is a lunar eclipse, as you say, and that will be on March the 25th. So lunar eclipses are basically like a supercharged full moon. So they have the tendency to eclipse out of our lives anything that's no longer working for us or serving our greatest good. So when it's in the sign of the balanced Libra, our attention tends to be directed towards partnerships of all kinds, so romantic, business, friendships, as well as the relationship that we have with ourselves. And we're also going to be looking at where in our lives we need to establish greater peace and balance. And so it's a good time leading up to this full moon to look at whereabouts in your chart Libra falls to see where these themes might start to play out for you. And this full moon, as with all full moons, will impact all of us, but it will have greater influence over those who have personal planets. So that's your sun, your moon, or your rising in the signs of Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And this is the third in a set of six eclipses that are going to be happening over the next, well, they've started happening a while ago and they'll happen over a period of 18 months. And these will be happening on the Aries and Libra axis, which are where the North and South nodes are currently activated for all of us as a collective. And it'll especially impact anyone with personal planets in Aries or Libra. And we're going to continue experiencing this energy all the way up until March 2025. And the purpose of this eclipse and nodal energy is to shift all of us to focus on our independence and our assertiveness, which are Aries qualities, whilst also being conscious of how we relate to others, which is our Libra energy. So I was actually having a conversation with a friend about this topic very recently. And we were saying how at the moment, there's loads of people like doing the work, I say, with quotation marks, which is an amazing, amazing thing. But I think there's also this importance of striking a balance between turning inwards and caring for ourselves, and then also coming back out into the world and returning back to connection, to being with each other, with everything that's going on in the world right now. I think the world is trying to tell us more than anything at the moment that we need to be there for each other. So as always, full moons are like this point of culmination and hopefully of fulfillment of the wishes that we set 6 months ago with the new moon. And if the seeds that were sowed 6 months ago do come to fruition at this time, then it's a really nice time to celebrate and honour yourself and anyone else who helped you along the way. But if what you were wishing for hasn't transpired, the moon will really shine a spotlight on whether these goals are actually really aligned for you right now, or if there's actually something that's standing in your way. And sometimes it is external factors that stop us from reaching our goals. But I find that more often than not, it's our own inner world that blocks us. And this is something that I work with my clients on a lot in our one-to-one coaching sessions. So the whole premise is that we build strong inner foundations so that any goals we want to achieve are made more possible through having a kinder inner narrative, strong and healthy boundaries, building up our confidence and self-belief. It's something that I had to work on a lot in my own journey. And so now I know firsthand how that feels and how important it is to have this rock steady foundation in order to build the life that you want and in order to go through the inevitable valleys and peaks that happen. We really have to build this idea of having compassion for ourselves and building resilience along the way.
Yes, I really resonate deeply, you know, with the themes you have mentioned surrounding the upcoming full moon lunar eclipse in Libra. And as you mentioned so well, this full moon lunar eclipse, it really underscores the significance of finding harmony and balance in all aspects, you know, of our life. And it's a powerful reminder to assess where we may need to establish greater peace and balance, you know, both internally and externally. So yeah, thanks, Lauren, for the cosmic insights. I'm really all set for the coming months. And yeah, for a couple of months, I had a mantra that I repeated often. And it was, I stay open and soft. And I picked it up during a Suku session in Barcelona. And Luna, she was giving the yoga class and she used that mantra and it really resonated with me. And then in December, I shifted it to, I trust in life and its abundance. While I was attending a breathwork session. And during these breathwork sessions, I mean, you never know what comes up. And this was a mantra that then came up. And yeah, it sticked with me so far. So I would like to know, Lauren, do you currently have a mantra or a motto that you follow?
Yeah, I don't have anything specific that I'm working with at the moment, but I tend to just take like quite an intuitive approach and find something that works for me in the moment when I need it. But do you have any tips for our listeners on how they could maybe find a mantra to work with?
So sometimes we just come across mantras or something that just resonates with us. I think that's the main point, something that resonates with you. It can be a post on social media, or maybe you read a book and you read a phrase or you come across a poem and then it just feels like, yes, that's my mantra or that's my motto. And and then I like to write them and to note them somewhere. And then sometimes I carry them around in my purse or in my bag and just use them during meditation or at another moment through the day. Yes.
Amazing. I love that. The right mantra just pops up when you need it. Thanks so much for your Ayurvedic insights this month, Karina. And thank you to all of our listeners for taking the time to connect with us.
Yeah, I enjoyed our conversation today. And I hope you, dear listeners, you find it helpful because our goal, why we are doing this, is really to accompany you every month in the best possible way. And you can help us spread the word by tagging us on social media and sharing your main takeaway. Feel free to leave a rating as well. And thank you so much and all the best to you.